Turn first to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. Now I'm going to show you something in Scripture that for some people it might mess them up. Especially people that don't know the Lord. They might wonder, where in the world is God coming off doing this thing here? And I'll wait till you get to Numbers 22 because you need to see this. So Numbers 22, is everybody there? Okay. Now look in Numbers 22, look in verse 20. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet, the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Now look at verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Now let me ask you a question. Does this sound like God's being kind of mean to Balaam here? In verse 20, he says, Balaam, go. In verse 22, he says his anger was kindled. Now, that phrase, anger kindled, that means there was steam coming out of God's ears, okay? So, listen guys, would I be off base by wondering, God, you tell the guy to go, then you get so mad that you send an angel after him. I don't understand this, Lord. What's going on here? Wouldn't you kind of wonder the same thing? Sure you would. Who wouldn't? If that's all you read, and if that's all you knew. Let's take a look at some things here, because this is a really interesting story, and it does have a message for us today. But to get a really good understanding here, we need to go back to the beginning of chapter 22 and start working our way through some things so we can clearly see what's going on. In chapter 22, verse 1, it says, and the children of Israel set forth and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because there were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall all this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. So what do we have here? We have Israel moving on. We have Midian and Moab and Balak, the king there, pretty upset about this. Because he sees this mass of people, he knows what's happened to the warlike Amorites. He knows what happened to Egypt. And he knows he doesn't stand a chance. So he says, listen, I need some supernatural help here. I mean, basically that's what he's asking for. I need some supernatural help. So Balaam, you're a man that's got a reputation. Whoever you bless is blessed, whoever you curse is cursed. So I need you to come, and I need you to bless or to curse them, so that I can beat them and drive them out of the land. So he sends representatives to Balaam, and they, you know, take the fee with them. You know, it says the divination, the price of the divination. They take whatever he charged for, you know, doing his thing. Well, in verse 8, after they had gone to Balaam and told him this, he says, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Like God didn't know. And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Now what do we have? Balaam went to God, did he not? He didn't go to a false god. He didn't go to some totem pole. He went to God. And God says, Balaam, who are these people? Balaam says, well, this is who they are. And God says, don't go. Balaam says, all right. So the next morning he goes out and he says, fellas, you're going to have to go home. You tell the king of Moab, you tell the king. I mean, that, can you imagine the president of the United States sending, you know, the Secret Service to somebody and saying, you know, the president would like to see you. And then you say, okay, well, you know, I'll let you know in the morning. And you get up in the morning and you say, well, guys, sorry, God said don't go. So you go tell the president, I'm sorry, but just can't make it this time. Can you imagine that? He's saying, you go tell the king I can't do it. God told me no, I'm not going to do it. So is he hearing from God or not? Yes, he is. Does it look like he's obeying God? Yes, it does. Absolutely. Well, in verse 14, the princes of Moab rose up and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. In other words, he sent more people, more representatives who had a higher position of status within the kingdom. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee into very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now look here in verse 19. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Hadn't the Lord already spoken to him? Didn't the Lord already say don't go? Okay, think of it this way. How many times have your kids come to you, says, Mommy, can I go? And you say no. Do they just let it drop? Do they come back more than once? But Mom, but Dad, and do they not try to play both ends against the middle? Well, what'd your dad say? Well, you know, he said maybe, and then, well, what'd your mom say? Well, she said it was kind of up to you. Well, it's up to you. Well, it's up to, and you know how it goes, don't you, parents? I mean, you never did it, but your kids did it to you, right? God's already told him don't go. But if you notice, they've upped the ante, have they not? Now you've got really important people showing up and they're offering promotion. We're going to make you famous. And he says, if he offered me all the gold in Fort Knox, all the tea in China, all, you know, whatever, I couldn't do it. But just in case, let me ask God again. He says, you guys spend the night and I'll check it out. So he goes to the Lord, and then the Lord, verse 20, it says he comes unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. It almost sounds like God's compromising, doesn't it? First God says, don't go. Then God says, well, all right, you can go, but only say what I tell you to say. Parents, well, all right, you can home, but you better be home by 9. And so we have God changing his mind, it almost looks like. And the next verse, And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding his ass, riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Now, you got to know ahead of time. I can have a lot of fun with this story. In verse 23, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Well, you read this story. Here's, you know, Balaam. He's just riding along. And the ass looks up and sees the angel with his sword drawn. Now, if you were an ass, what would you do? Listen, guys, you ought to at least be smart as an ass. And the ass sees this angel and turns aside. Balaam gets mad. Whappo, whappo, whappo. What's the matter with you, you dumb donkey? Whappo, whappo, whappo. So, you know, poor little Eeyore gets back over onto the path. Welts. Continues on the way. Verse 24. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Whappo, whappo, whappo. You stupid donkey. What's the matter with you? Go straight. Look at my foot. Now, let me ask you a question. You may think it's, you know, kind of silly. Him, you know, you ever talk to your car? Have you? Car won't start? You stupid piece of junk. You lousy whammo, whammo. You hit it, you beat the dashboard, and you get out, and you kick it, you slam the door. Or maybe you've never done it, but have you ever seen anybody do anything like that? Huh? There's no difference, is there? Your car acts up, you beat it. His donkey acted up, he's beating it. Well, in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left hand. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled. Who else's anger got kindled? God. Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. Now let me ask you a question. This is the third time, right? All right. For the third time, the first time, how many licks do you think he gave her? Couple, maybe? Three? The second time, what do you think he did? Maybe four? You think he, you know, might have gone. The third time, what do you think he did? He wailed on that donkey. And I wouldn't be one bit surprised if he used a few choice words in the process. You know, the kind of things that you don't say when your car acts up. And so here he is, whap, 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 smack, smack, and he's furious. You stupid donkey. What's the matter with you? Are you crazy? And then look what happens. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done to you? Look at this. What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said to the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. Ooh, he's furious. And you know, here's the thing about it. Balaam doesn't seem to be surprised. His ass is talking. I don't know about you. Mine started to talk. I might wonder what. He doesn't seem a bit surprised. He says, "You're mocking me." Now, back up here to verse 22. Look at the end of verse 22. Now Balaam was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him, right? He's got two servants with him. So Balaam's riding his ass. He's got two servants with him. And these servants are seeing this whole thing, right? And they see the donkey do the first thing, and the donkey do the second, and the donkey do the third thing. And Balaam's, you know, whap, smack, crack, just him kicked and beat and all this other. And they're also standing there the moment that this donkey, I mean, the poor little old donkey, beat, 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 beat. And the donkey, you know, is down on the ground, right? Beat, 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 whap, whap, smack, beat. And all of a sudden the donkey turns around and says, "What are you doing to me? Why are you beating me? What have I done to you?" And Balaam says, "Oh, because you mock me, you stupid donkey. If I had a sword, I'd kill you right about now." And the two servants are watching this whole thing. Bob, you see what I'm saying? And we ain't telling anybody we didn't see it either. Hallelujah. Nobody believe you anyway. Let me get this straight. He beats the donkey and the donkey starts talking to him. "Sure, sure. You guys been out in the sun a little bit too long, haven't you? Smoking that wacky tobacco." Uh-huh. They're watching this whole thing. And the ass continues the conversation and says, "Am I not your ass? Upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And Balaam kind of scratches his chin and says, "Well, no." The donkey is out logicking Balaam. So, who's the smart ass and who's the dumb? Those of you listening to this by radio, I hope this isn't the first time you've ever heard me. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Well, I guess. Now, get the picture. Who's already flat on the ground? The donkey. Now, who else is on the ground? Balaam. Balaam and the donkey laying next to each other. And the servant saying, "Whoa, this is heavy." And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times?" I mean, the angel's taken up for the donkey. Can you see that little donkey down there? See, see, told you. "Behold, I went out to withstand thee." Now look at this. "Because thy way is what?" Now hold on. Who told him to go? Who told him to go? God. Is this the angel of the devil or the angel of the Lord? It's the angel of the Lord. So if God says go, why would the angel of the Lord turn around and say your way is perverse? Why would he say that? Isn't he doing what God told him to do? Let's keep reading. "And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." Now that is really uplifting. Let me get this straight. You're going to kill me and let the donkey live. And the donkey's going, "Yee-haw, yee-haw." And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." Does that sound like a smart thing to do? Now wait a minute. The angel said, your way is perverse, did he not? Your way is perverse before me. And Balaam says, I've sinned. I didn't know you were here. Notice he doesn't say anything about what's perverse about my way. All he says is, oh, gee, I'm sorry, didn't know you were here. But he doesn't ask anything beyond that. The angel didn't say I was going to kill you because you didn't know I was here. The angel said I was going to kill you because your way is perverse before me. And Balaam says, oh, well, gosh, gee, now that I see you, I'm sorry, you want me to turn back? Look what the angel says. The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. So once again, we have the angel of the Lord getting in on this and saying, no, go with the men. But so wait a second. Now, I don't know about you, and see, we can keep reading this, we won't, but what's not in here is Balaam saying, oh, wait a minute. God says go, then you show up and you're going to kill me because you say my way is perverse, but then you say go. How do I know you're not going to try and kill me again? I mean, I'm only doing what I heard to do. How do I know you're not going to show up again? How do I know this donkey's not going to start acting up again and crush my foot against another brick wall or rock wall? How do I know this? That's not in there. And Balaam doesn't seem to be too concerned that the angel of the Lord has identified his way as being perverse. Now, we're going to answer all this here by the time it's over. Let's go on. Well, in verse 41, what happens? He goes on, he meets with Balak, and they're getting ready to, you know, do their thing here. And in verse 41, it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people. So he meets up with Balak, and Balak, he says, why didn't you come when you called me? He says, well, I'm here now. He says, all right, well, come on, I'll tell you. Let's go up here. And he takes him to the high places of Baal so he could see all the people. Now, where it says the high places of Baal, it's talking about kind of like a mountaintop where they would establish their pagan altars. And this was common. In the when you read in the book of Kings and so forth, it talks about certain good kings, how they tore down the high places. Well, it doesn't mean they tore down the mountains. What it means is it tore down the pagan altars that were up on those hills or those high places. Okay. Now, in chapter 23, they're up there, and Balak is saying, all right, look, I want you to curse them. And so Balaam, you know, he's getting ready to speak. Now, remember God, what God tell him? He says, you only speak what I tell you to speak, right? And now verse 7. And he took up this parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defiled? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. In other words, when he says there in verse 9, the people shall dwell alone, he's saying, they're going to throw you guys out. And they're going to dwell alone in the land. Well, did that make Balak happy? Verse 11, and Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. He says, what, are you crazy? I'm paying you good money, boy. You're supposed to curse these people. And look what you've done. You've blessed them. What does Balaam say? Verse 12, he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Okay, now, does it sound like the guy's doing a good job? Does it sound like he's doing right? Well, sure it does. He's blessing whom the Lord has blessed. Well, if we jump down to verse 18, it says, well, now I'll tell you what, back up to verse 14. It says, and he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah. Balak takes Balaam to this place. And in verse 18, we pick the story up. And Balaam took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? For he has spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt, as he hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift himself up as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. So once again, he starts blessing Israel. And in verse 25, Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. He says, listen, if you're not going to do what I want you to do, then just hush up, don't say anything. You're making it worse. These people are coming in, and I know what they're going to do. They're going to attack. They're going to try and drive us out. I can't handle them by myself. I need you to curse them. And what do? You come in, you bless these people. You compound the situation. What's the matter with you, Balaam? Balaam says, listen, I can only speak what God tells me to speak. Okay? So again, is the guy doing a good job or what? Well, it sure sounds like it. He's blessing Israel. But if we go a little bit further, verse 28, and Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looketh toward Jeshimon. And what's he wanting to do? Well, naturally, he wants him to begin to curse. And in chapter 24, verse 2, Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, we're not going to read this entire prophecy, because it carries on. If you just jump down to verse 10, after he gives him this prophecy, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote with his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. And so he goes on, and he really is giving Balaam a hard time about all of this. Now look in verse 14. Balaam says, and now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. So Balaam says, look, I came here and I only did what I could do. Now I'm going to go back home. But before I leave, I want to tell you what's going to happen to you and your people. And he begins to prophesy. And it's not good. He's basically saying, you guys, your days are numbered. That's what it comes down to. But what's interesting, if you look real briefly in verse 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. This is a prophecy of Jesus. This is really an incredible prophecy. So again, without going through and reading all of this thing that he says, he's speaking bad things about Moab. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be judged, and destruction, and et cetera, and so forth. So is Balaam doing a good job? Is Balaam doing what you would think a guy ought to do if he's doing what God's telling him to do? Well, sure. That's everything that comes across here. But now, look in chapter 25, verse 1. It says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices, and they, the daughters of Moab, called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat, and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand. He went in after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000 people, man, died because of this thing. So what do we have? Chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. It says that the men of Israel began to mingle with the wrong kind of women. And they did what they weren't supposed to do. And these women began to turn their heads in the direction of these other gods. And so they began to worship these other gods. And the anger of the Lord was kindled. And God, a plague came upon the nation of Israel. And by the time this thing was over, 24,000 people had died. That's incredible. 24,000 people had died. Now, let's look at this. What's the connection between this and this, all this stuff about Balaam blessing Israel? Let me point some things out to you. In chapter 25, if you take a look at verse 1, it talks at the end of verse 1, it talks about the daughters of Moab. You see that? And in verse 6, it talks about a Midianitish woman. Do you see that? Can I leave your finger here and turn back to chapter 22? Remember Balak? How he called for Balaam? And if you look at the end of verse 4, and Balak, the son of Zippor, was the king of the Moabites at that time. And at the beginning of verse 4, it says, "And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Israel is going to kick us out." Do you see there's Moab and there's Midian in chapter 22. In chapter 25, who were the men committing whoredoms with? The women of Moab and the women of Midian. Okay? Now, take a look back in chapter 25, verse 3. "And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. All right, turn back to chapter 22, verse 41. "And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of" who? Baal. Then if you jump over to chapter 23, verse 28, "And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of" where? "Peor, that looketh toward Jeshimon." Baal and Peor. Chapter 25, verse 3, "And Israel joined himself unto" who? Baal, Peor. Are you seeing a connection here in this? You've got Moab and Midianite women, and you've got Baal, Peor, the place of the false gods. Both places where Balaam had been, right? Okay, now, turn over to chapter 31. You're going to see the connection. I'm going to show this to you. Do you remember when God told Balaam, "You go, but you only speak what I tell you to speak"? Remember that? And when we read the story, it looks like that Balaam spoke what God told him to speak, correct? Do you remember the promise that the king Balak, that King Balak had made to Balaam? First time he sensed the price of divination, Balaam wouldn't go. But the second time the pot gets sweetened. And he says, "Listen, I can promote you. I'll make you famous." And Balaam said, "Even if he gave me all the gold and the silver, I still wouldn't go. But let me just double check, okay?" And God says, "All right, go." So for all he knows, he's obeying God. Remember the angel of the Lord shows up and says, "Why'd you beat your ass? Let me tell you what, if that ass hadn't turned aside, I'd have killed you." "Why?" "Because your way is perverse before me." "Excuse me, I'm just going where God told me to go." "Your way is perverse before me." What had he been promised? He had been promised fame and fortune, had he not? And based on what we read, it looked like he only blessed Israel. That's what it looked like. And do you remember where it said that I'm going to go back home to my people? Remember that? So the image we're left with is this, that Balaam walked away from Moab and Midian, correct? Well, now we jump ahead here, and then we see the whole thing in chapter 25 we read about. We jump ahead to chapter 31. And chapter 31 is where Israel makes war with Moab and Midian. I mean, it's finally come to this point. And so Israel attacks. It says in verse 7, and they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males, and they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, five kings of Midian. Who's that? Who is it? Balaam, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Now, wait a minute. I thought Balaam went home. Didn't you? I thought Balaam went home. He blesses old Balak. He gets all mad at him. Moab and Midian, they wanted Balaam to curse Israel. Balaam says, I can only speak what the Lord tells me to speak. And if you don't like it, I'm going home. Last we knew, he was riding off in the dust, in the sunset, his little donkey kicking up dust. But now all of a sudden, look at this. He's back with them. And not only is he back with them, poor Balaam, prophet of God, only speaks what God told him to speak, gets killed. And who killed him? Israel, the people he blessed. Something doesn't seem right here, does it? Something doesn't seem fair. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 9, and the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives, and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle, and all their flocks, and all their goods. Now jump down to verse 15. And Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? Behold, now look here, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now we're seeing something a little bit different about Brother Balaam, are we not? It looked like all he did was bless Israel. Now we find out there was something else that was going on that ended up bringing a plague upon Israel. Now remember what Balak wanted? Remember Balak got, he was king of Moab, got the people of Midian together with him. He says, listen, we've got a problem here. Let's get Balaam. He'll come. He'll curse. We'll win. Balaam shows up. Does he curse? Not based on what we read in those passages. But now we find out here, Moses says that it was because of the counsel of Balaam that Israel committed trespass against the Lord. Well, what happened? What was the trespass? Remember how that the men of Israel began to commit whoredoms with the women of Midian and Moab there at Baal Peor? How'd that come about? The counsel of Balaam. Why was he back in Midian? Dude got promoted. How'd he get promoted? Well, because he gives counsel to Moab and Midian and says, okay, listen, I'm paraphrasing here, and I know that these words aren't in Scripture, but I'm going to show you some more. He says, listen, I can't curse them, but I can tell you guys what to do. It's going to give you the edge. All your hot mamas, tell them to pretty themselves up and hang around the men of Israel. And these guys, they'll give in. I mean, they just spent the last 400 years with the same women. So now that they're out, now that they're free, now that they're not slaves anymore, they'll cast a wandering eye in the direction of your ladies. And when they do, it's not going to give you the edge as far as the military strength is concerned. But what it's going to do is open the door for those people to die as a result of judgment. So you send your women among them. Oh, and by the way, where's my promotion? Now you know good and well that the king of Midian, the king of Moab, you know, how the princes and all this other, they followed his advice. So how do you know? Chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. They followed his advice. Did they see the results? Sure, they saw the results. They saw it happening. And I'm sure these guys probably thought that now we're not going to get whooped. Come along chapter 31, they get whooped. And Balaam's right in the midst, and he gets killed too. And Moses, he identifies this. He says, listen, these women are the ones that messed things up in the first place through the counsel of Balaam. Through the counsel of Balaam. All right, now let me show you something else. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee. Now look at this. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Do you see this? So God is filling us in a little bit more what was going on. Balaam, either before he left to go back home, or sometime after he left and came back, somewhere along the line, not only had Balaam blessed Israel, but because of his counsel, it says right here, the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. He told Balak exactly what to do. He says, listen, I can only bless them, all right? But here's what you could do if you want to mess things up. I can't curse them, but I can tell you what to do that'll mess things up. Do you remember how that the angel showed up, the angel of the Lord showed up and said, if it hadn't been for that donkey, I'd have killed you because your way is perverse before me. Now remember, he was doing what God told him to do, was he not? God said go. He was going. And even when he says, I'll turn back if you want me to, and the angel says, no, you go on, but you only say what I tell you to say. Twice now, Balaam has had the instruction, you only say what I tell you to say. And what do we see both in Deuteronomy and in more detail here in Revelation? Oh yeah, he said what God told him to say, did he not? He blessed the people, but he also said some things that God didn't tell him to say. He counseled Balak on what to do to cause the people to stumble. And because of that, he got what? Promoted. Look in 2 Peter. He got rich and promoted in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. And remember, this is talking about false prophets, false teachers. Chapter 2 here, very prophetic. It's talking about these people. It says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. In other words, where the angel said, your way is perverse before me, he wasn't saying because you're going, it's perverse, as much as what he was saying, it's what's in your heart. It's God knew what he was going to do. That's why twice he says, you only speak what I tell you to speak. let me kind of amplify this a little bit. Balaam, you know what would cause Israel to stumble. And you know that if the pretty women of Moab and Midian get in there, the men of Israel are going to have their heads turned, and they're going to commit whoredoms and fornication. They're going to eat the wrong kind of food. They're going to worship the wrong kinds of gods and all this other stuff. And Balaam, you're so caught up with wealth and titles that if you can get your hands on a little bit of it, that's what you'll do. You'll do whatever it takes, Balaam, to get promoted and to get wealthy. And I'm telling you now, you only speak what I tell you to speak. The problem is your way is perverse before me because I know your heart and I know what you're going to do. Now, what's this have to do with us? Remember what he said in Revelation? Look back over in Revelation chapter 2. Look at this again. In verse 14, "But I have a few things against thee." Now look at this. "Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam." You hast where? In your church. "Them that hold the doctrine of Balaam." Okay? Now let's just work with this for a few moments. "Them that hold the doctrine of Balaam." Now I'm going to ask you a question. Could Balaam hear God? Absolutely. Did Balaam have a supernatural encounter with God? Donkey talked? Angel shows up? You better believe he had a supernatural encounter with God. He could hear God. He would speak the words of God. He prophesied according to what God told him to prophesy. He even prophesied about Jesus. Thousands of years, he prophesied about Jesus before he comes on the scene. The man could hear from God. It even says in here that the Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied. But there was a black spot in the man's heart that messed up everything. And God says, "I've got a few things against you. Oh, you may do a whole lot that's right, but I've got a few things against you. You have people in your midst who are like Balaam." What do we know about Balaam? The man could hear from God. He was recognized as a prophet. He could bless, speak blessings on people. He had supernatural encounters with God. And for all intents and purposes, it appeared as though he only did what God wanted him to do. And God's warning these people in this church. And he's saying, well, actually, he's really speaking here about the pastor. He says, "You've got people like Balaam in your church." So what would a person like Balaam be? Somebody who knows the Bible, knows the Word of God. Somebody who can hear God. Somebody who can prophesy. Somebody who maybe has even had a supernatural encounter with God. But what's the problem? We've got a black spot. And sooner or later, they're going to do something that's going to trip you up and cause you to stumble. Balaam, he sold out. And he told Balak what to do to get Israel to get messed up. Now, what about us? Is it possible that we could have a Balaam in our midst? You're all looking at me. Is it possible that other churches could have a Balaam? Is it possible that we could get Balaamed? Is that possible? Person comes in here, man, they're preaching a word, and you're following along in Scripture. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely, that's right. Like, wow, yeah, that's right. I mean, this guy's right on. Calls people out, begins, you know, praying over them, and begins to prophesy over them. And I mean, everything this person says is right on, and there's no way they could know it unless it had been supernaturally revealed to them. Wouldn't you have a tendency to kind of go along with about anything they say? But if they've got the black spot of Balaam in their heart, sooner or later they're going to say something that's going to take you down the wrong path. Sooner or later, they're going to deliver some kind of a message that's going to be a stumbling block in your life. And it doesn't necessarily have to be connected with money. But it'll be connected with their ministry. The success of their ministry. Their promotion. There was a person, I won't say male or female, who talked about a supernatural encounter that they had had with God. Apparently they'd have had other supernatural encounters with God, and I won't go any further than that. Can hear God, can preach a tremendous message, and so on and so forth. But claimed to have had a supernatural encounter with God, and they described the supernatural encounter and it included a trip to heaven. This person shared the things that they saw when they were in heaven. And it was so powerful that people began jumping on the bandwagon of what this person was saying as a result of this encounter. A book was even written. Problem is this. A big chunk, well, no, let me restate that. A part of that book can in no way, shape, or form be substantiated with Scripture. Absolutely not. But because of the source, people believe it. And I'll tell you this, I know for a fact that there have been people in a church service that heard that part of that book refuted with Scripture, line upon line teaching, and they went bonkers. I don't mean they rose up against the preacher, but they struggled big time accepting what they were hearing in that service because the other person has a louder voice than the preacher they were hearing. And it was hard for them to accept the fact that what they had heard from this other preacher who had had this encounter was wrong. Because everybody was talking about it. Everybody believed it. Everybody was promoting it. Everybody was repeating it, teaching it. And you know, everybody's a figurative term. Now all of a sudden somebody says, hold on here. Line upon line, precept upon precept, teach, teach, show, show, explain, explain. Can't be right, guys. But he couldn't be wrong. Why? He's so-and-so. She's this. She's big time. And on and on it would go. But according to the Word, it was wrong. That's just one example. Now look over in John, 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that would Balaam you. You see this? 1 John chapter 2, verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that would Balaam you, seduce you. What did Balaam do? He was instrumental in seducing Israel, was he not? How was he able to do that? Through the counsel that he gave to Balak. The same thing can happen today for us in the body of Christ. If we do not guard our hearts, we are going to hear somebody that is going to preach 99 sermons of absolute perfection. Sermon number 100 is going to contain 45 minutes of pure revelation. But the last 15 minutes will be the seduction that will get you off the right path and headed toward the Midianite and the Moabite women. It will be your Baal Peor. So what do I do, Brother Martin? What do I do? First off, you have to acknowledge the fact. What was it? There was a sign I saw once. Trust everybody, but count your cattle or something like that. I forget what it was. Some kind of you know, weird little saying. Trust everybody, but don't trust anyone. And you put me in that same boat. I mean it. You trust me implicitly, but don't you trust me. Say, Brother Martin, what on God's green earth are you saying? What I'm saying is this. If you put me in the position to become your Holy Spirit, you've missed God. I am not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. God's put you in this church. You need to trust me implicitly. But like I said over and over and over again, don't just blindly accept everything I say. Get in the Word of God and spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit so I don't Balaam you. See, here's the thing. Nobody's going to Balaam you on purpose. Nobody's going to seduce you on purpose. You're going to be seduced out of their own personal seduction. If they've been seduced into believing a wrong doctrine, and that's what they buy into, and that's what they're preaching and teaching, then that same thing could seduce you. People with the best intentions, people that have had encounters with God, people that can hear God, people that are used in the gifts of the Spirit, and on and on it goes. But I'm telling you right now, every single one of us that stands up and preaches and teaches the gospel has the potential to be Balaamed and to turn around and Balaam other people. That's why we have to rely on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't bother me to talk like this. It doesn't bother me for me to tell you to trust me and then not to trust me. Because you can't put me up on a pedestal and to take the place of the third person of the Godhead. I can't do that. It doesn't matter how many sermons I preach that you think are wonderful and tremendous and, oh my goodness, revelation knowledge. Woohoo! This is great, Brother Martin. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, but have you prayed about it? I told you one time about a service Kathy and I were in. Guy got up and he started, you know, preaching some stuff. It was at the offering time, long offering time. And I'm telling you what, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, man, oh man, if only this stuff was right. It is so good. If only it was right. If it only lined up with God's Word, this is good stuff. But it's so wrong. And I heard another person preaching some things that sounded so doggone good. And I'm thinking, man, oh man, I could preach the socks off of that message if it was only truth. And people, they hear it, they amen and go on about it. The thing is, but does it line up with the Word of God? See? Balaam was a man that could hear God. And there are a whole lot of preachers out there today who can hear God clearly. And they can teach you. They can deliver a message unto you. Man, you think they'd be the greatest you've ever heard in your whole life. But all it takes is that one Baal Peor part of a sermon that'll get you off track. There was a person one time that was... It wasn't a service that we had here, a part of this church. But there were some people from this church in a service, and I was there too, that they heard a message. Well, no, wait a minute. It was this church. Anyway, let's just leave it confusing sounding, okay? Let's just leave it that way. But there was a preacher that told the people that their lives were controlled by the powers of the stars. And that they had to find out when a person was born, and the person that was like having problems, and until the powers of the stars controlling and governing that person's life based upon when they were born, until the powers of the stars were broken, that person would remain in bondage. And I personally know people from this church that started doing research to find out which stars were controlling their life. The whole message could have been perfect up to that point. But that Baal Peor thrown in the midst of it got some folks off track. They didn't stay off track for long, thank God. But what if there's nobody around to help you correct it? You know what you have? You end up with I'll just say it this way. You end up with a church full of people chasing stars. Trying to break powers that don't exist. And they end up messed up. What am I getting at? This is another praying in tongues sermon. If you haven't figured it out already. Yeah, it took us a long time to get there, but that's what this is. Can you see by this illustration how dangerous this can be? A person who can hear from God and all these things that we see in here about Balaam. And God turns right around in the New Testament and he identifies a church and says, you've got Balaams in your midst. You know why they were in there? It's because the people, the pastor especially, didn't know it. If you know you've got a Balaam in your midst, for crying out loud, why give him the pulpit? Why give him the Sunday school class? That's why God said, I've got somewhat against you. You've got Balaams in your midst. By him saying that, it's not just that they were there. They were involved. And they were seducing the people through wrong doctrine. But I guarantee you, it sounded good. You know why? You know how I know that? It's because God said, I've got somewhat against you. If they weren't allowed to be involved, God wouldn't have said, I've got somewhat against you. But these people were given permission. Guys, I'm telling you over and over, I've said it over and over, and once again I'm saying it, pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit help you every day of your life. Because as much as I don't want to even think about such a thing, listen, I could be like that pastor of Pergamos, you know? I have to suppress my pride that would say, not me, and say, well, you know, even Jesus himself said, if it's possible, the very elect are going to be deceived. I have to do whatever I can do to decrease that possibility. And one of the things that will help me do that, one of the most powerful things that will help me do that, is to pray in the Spirit. And he will help guard me against them that would seduce me, against them that would Balaam me. Don't get Balaamed. Pray in the Spirit and walk the path of God's truth. Hallelujah. Okay, you prayers. I could have said, you smart.